Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, Scott. When Henry Martin went out to India, William Peary and the Baptists were already there, and Henry Martin knew about William Peary's work through Simeon. Would you like to comment a bit more on the relationship between those chaplains and the Baptists?
Mm. Yes. Well, it's a rather large question, actually, and it isn't uniform. Some of the chaplains had a rather rocky relation with the Baptist missionaries. Buchanan had a rather rocky relationship with the Baptist missionaries, and there was quite a conflict back in Britain, in the Bible Society itself, and between Baptists and Clapham over Buchanan's role and whether he had raised money using the Baptists and then used it for their Anglican purposes in publishing work. And this debate went on for some time. Other times there were issues with Parson working among the soldiers of whether Baptists were stealing Anglican converts and rebaptizing individuals who were among the soldiers even. And this Henry Martin actually came to investigate this in one case and sort of acted as a mediator in this role and determined that the Baptists were not in particular fault in this matter, that there had been a progression of events that had led to this misunderstanding and that this could basically be talked through among gentlemen. Martin himself was very friendly with the Baptist missionaries, especially in the earlier years. His critique of the Baptist missionaries laid mostly on the huge production of translations that they were undertaking. And he thought it was far too large of an undertaking. He felt that even just focusing on the three translations was a life work for him. And here, Baptists were doing work in 10, 11, 12 languages, and he feared that the work can only be presented the first time once, and you wanted to have a good, solid work at that time. He thought some of Carey's work was very good, I believe, but some of it he was skeptical of, and wished that more time were being taken. So there was a question, a bit of tension on the quality of translation issue. But he never doubted their devotion and very much appreciated the Baptist missionaries as individuals and their work.
Yes?
Two questions, Shane. Coming back to the sermons, how many printed sermons have we got? I noticed there was one in the exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, could you comment on Constance Patrick played in perpetuating and extending the hagiography?
Hmm. Let's see. The sermons were some of the sermons were gathered. There was a volume of 20 sermons published, and then some years later, a collection of 5 additional were published. And those are the only published ones, although. There are a sermon or two in manuscript form available archivally. And that's been pretty much all that was ever done. And they are not great sermons. He is not remembered for his sermons. They are not horrible, but they are not something that people would seek out for their own sake. They would seek out more because of their connection to Henry Martin. I think he was probably still using skeletons in some cases. But Constant Padwick, that's a very good question. I mean, I think one of the dangers of biography of Christian figures is much what we were discussing about individuals, how we have a certain Christian hagiography. We tend to look at an individual, and when you take him out of a context, it's very easy to view them in a hagiographical form because you're just looking at their ideas and their achievements. And one of the things that I've tried to do as a scholar is to put Martin in a context. Martin was part of a project. And I think if you understand the project and understand his role in it, it tends to alleviate the danger of hagiography. And I think I don't blame her so much individually as I do the tendency to portray people to the Christian community by Christians as individuals. You're not usually looking for critical biography. And that has been a tendency that continues right up until the present in most Christian biography that's written by Christians for a Christian audience. And I think the audience is one of the key factors in that.
Well, I just want to follow that up. As far as your personal story is concerned, obviously you were grabbed.
Yes.
What was it, or is it lost in the mists of time now? What was it that has developed, that started off this lifetime interest and commitment? What was it about this biography that you read?
Yes. One of the part of it was the single-mindedness. And you can't, it just as Simeon's comment about, I mean, he speaks in such grandiose terms, the greatest thing since scripture, it was in Martin's journals. But it's just the single-mindedness and commitment as he goes through these various steps. And you see a growth and maturity in him as time goes on. Sometimes we tend to view these individuals in a static way. I was just sharing earlier that Martin himself develops as a man. And when he leaves, he writes in his journal from England, "Now let me burn out for God." And I've seen that saying very frequently printed. But you find just a few years later that Martin is writing to Corey and saying, "A missionary is prone to imagine himself to be an atlas. You need to preserve your diet, your health, you need to, you know, so that you can be of more impact and greater service." There is just a wisdom that develops in him, and that's just watching that progression and yet seeing the constancy of his object at the same time just appealed to me and still does to this day.
One last question.
We're working at Holy Trinity Cambridge. We just started, so I've just come from the Henry Martin Hall. What could we recommend, first of all, as reading for the young students and Christians about Henry Martin? Which biography or books?
The definitive biography is still George Smith's in 1891, I believe. No one has produced new material since then. Padwick wrote a very good one and framed it in somewhat different context and language, but in terms of new materials, no one's really produced, no one's gone back to archival sources. We have almost 40% more archival sources available of Martin, his letters, than we had when the original biography of Smith was done. So, and yet no one has gone through this, and these letters show a great deal more about Martin than we knew at that time. And we still continually find things. I just found out even this year, this summer, about him being the officer of the horse cavalry for the Johnian cavalry. So we're still finding out things about Martin even today that weren't known by Smith. But Smith would be the best biography. There are more modern ones that have a different emphasis. There's one whole book written about his relationship with Lydia called "My Love Can't Wait, Must Wait." My love must wait, not can't wait. But that's where I would send them. And maybe Padwick's as well as a good compliment.
Well, thank you very much indeed. We're looking forward to the Scott Ayler biography, which will doubtless materialise following upon the correspondence and the journals. Thank you so much for your lecture, for contextualising Martin, which I think has been profoundly helpful to us. For those of us occasionally thought, you know, a lot of the image of him comes from the journal. Any of us who have taken a moment to scribble thoughts down quietly to ourselves know perfectly well how wretched and miserable some of that stuff can be, and it seemed a very unfair kind of way for him to be remembered by many of us. So we're very, very grateful for you setting the context. The interesting thing about that Islamic-Christian dialogue was something that it came up in the lecture we had earlier from John Clark, and that's clearly, I think, an area perhaps for further historical research, and we hope somebody will pick up on that. For those who haven't been to the exhibition, there is a little exhibition in the chapel. I'm sort of pointing that way because that's basically where the chapel is. If you haven't had a look around, do go and have a little wander around there. And then there are some leaflets here you might want to pick up on the three lectures which make up the biannual Henry Martin lectures beginning on the 13th of November. Engaging the University, Engaging Diversity, Engaging Global Society by Dr. Ramachandra. So do pick up one of those as you go out. Prior to going out, you'll have heard the discreet off-stage noises of tea being more actively prepared. So do stay and share a cup of tea and chat and make connections with people. Thank you very much again.
I'd just like to thank Duncan and to thank St John's for hosting these two seminars with Henry Martin Centre, and also for hosting the exhibition and the two services that have been held in Henry Martin's memory. Thank you very, very much.
Pleasure. I should say, I think we're going to reinstitute the cavalry thing. I love that. I'll take it to our college council. Great. Thank you very much. I might be a little bit curious way.
Someone like Thomas.